The crystalline grid has four portals. They're extremely important, and it's very important that these stay filled with love and stay cleared. One portal is two rivers, the Tigris and Euphrates. If you know your geology, you'll know where they are. One represents the male, one represents the female. Then we move over to the Ganges. Then we move over to the Amazon. And then we loop around to the United States, to the Mississippi. No wonder New Orleans was levels and levels and levels of stuff that could no longer be buried. It was the job of that river to open up the consciousness. I would like to sing tones. I never know what's going to happen, but I've been asked to do some tones and allow these tones to touch your heart, to touch that inner child within your heart, to bring you into that feeling of love, gratitude, thankfulness, thankfulness of connecting to your real self, the divine inner child of you. And as you feel the joy of this connection, and I've talked to many of you today, I know you've made the connection, take that joy and send it to these portals, Tigris, Euphrates, the Ganges, the Amazon, and the Mississippi. Send it through as iridescent rainbow light if you wish, iridescent rainbow mist. But always send it through with a feeling, with that energy, with the emotion of the love that you feel when you touch that precious divine. And start feeling true self-love.
The blood of our planet. Greetings, dear ones. I am Kryon of Magnetic Servants. Indeed, there are those who felt us as they walked into this space this morning. But we have not left. We have not left you. It is so important that you understand the overview of everything that has transpired in 2 days. Do you feel the unity here? Can you feel the unity with the strangers that have come here from faraway places? All of those who are here, 600. You couldn't meet each other. You met some, but you couldn't meet them all, but you have in some way touched hearts collectively. And you held the hands of one another, and the room had one purpose. What do you think that light was like? What do you think that light was like? And some of you to this day wonder whether God knows who you are, whether spirit, the intelligence of the universe, has really anything to do with you. And these 2 days were put together synchronistically on purpose without accident so that you could feel the unity and feel the family and know that you're cared about. In every way, you're cared about. God knows everything that is going on in your life. And that is said in a way that is so honoring and so loving. Ready are we to be what you need? Ready are we to walk next to you in what you think are dark times? Ready are we to expose your power? Ready are we to start helping you to write the chapter and verse about the next phase of your life? Ready are we to walk out with you in a different way than you walked in? Ready are we to take your hand like we never have before? Perhaps you got messages. We'll speak more of this in a minute. My partner is apprehensive. He normally is not. We speak of love. We speak of the things that he is so commonly involved in the channelings. And now we speak of science. And we use his engineering brain and his logic and his clear channel to bring you things that we wish you to hear. And so let me talk to him at this moment and say, dear partner, relax. For we're going to go slow in a teaching mode. We're going to give you the words that you will understand, the information that will make sense, but go slow. Go slow. There are those of you who would say, why would we do such a thing? You've come for words about the esoteric, and we gave them to you. In the channeling before this, seemingly a moment ago to me, we now complement it with the other side, science you need to hear. Things of which we have spoken before sometimes meld into things we have never spoken of to give you simply the truth about physics. In areas perhaps you have not heard before, and some you have, we bring you these things in this way for a reason. The first of which is that we wish to have this archive, so that someday there will be those who would pull out this transcription and they will compare it to what science has discovered. And they will see that there is a confluence of truth. And they will have to then say, this was real. This was not a human being on stage entertaining the crowd and guessing about science, because these are high ideas that will translate to the pages of your textbooks eventually. You see, you watch, you wait, I am Cryon, of magnetic service. And if we're going to do this correctly, we have to give a review and tie it up correctly. I told you that I would explain astrology. And in order to do so, I am going to take you through a little bit of science about your biology that you need to know. For it relates not only to astrology, but to almost everything else that is going on with you and the planet. Cryon of magnetic service. Your DNA is complex. It is beautiful. Every single piece of it is there for a reason. There is no junk. There is no waste. It is beautifully designed. What seems to be random and chaotic is not, for the system lays very succinctly within the interdimensional framework of those who work with those beautiful, beautiful strands. Nothing is wasted. But in three dimensions, you see the double helix, and for many, many years, you have seen it as a strand. A strand by itself, responsible for the genealogy, for all of the things that you are. Recently, in your science, a discovery was made. It seemed to be passed over, which in its essence is probably one of the most profound discoveries that ties you and the magnetic grid together. At the ends of the strands of DNA are the telomeres. These long strands would seem to do nothing but shorten as you age. A copy of a copy of a copy. Responsible, perhaps, for what you think is your demise. But then science discovered something, that the telomeres actually were connected together. It took a while to see, for it was a very fine connection. This gave you two bits of information. Number one, the telomeres don't really shorten. The loop that DNA is gets smaller. But it's a loop. Suddenly, DNA is not a strand, but a loop. And now the fun begins. For within this loop, you now have an attribute of current. You see, the human being is a bioelectric device. And your brain and the synapse and your muscular reactions, all with the neurons that fire the impulses, trillions of them, that make your body work. And so the electrics of the body suddenly are involved in the DNA, for there is a current that travels through the loop. It is minuscule, hardly detectable, even by the finest of your instruments. So the first thing we will tell you is this, scientist, look for the current, for you will discover it is there. Not only that, you will discover that the current flows in a way that is so free through chemistry that shouldn't even conduct electricity. Almost like a superconductor, DNA is in a loop. Current flowing through a loop. Oh, I told you, my partner, this is going to be familiar to you. This is something you even understand, and you will understand as we present this. Current through a loop creates a magnetic field. DNA has a magnetic field. All of its own. Oh, it's small. But you take trillions of those parts in the human body, all of whom then have a magnetic field, and the whole human being becomes magnetic. And so there you sit, and there you stand, with scientific evidence that the human being's DNA actually has a magnetic field. And this tells you something else. That if there is another magnetic field around it or close to it, something will happen that is known even in your basic electricity, and it even has a name, and it's called inductance. Listen, inductance is that magic space where two magnetic fields collide and intertwine, where communications happens, where things are passed from one thing to another. In your electricity, it is used daily in almost every apparatus you have. Inductance. Through the seemingly thin air, one magnetic field transmits the information to another. Some of these things are designed, like your DNA, for instance. And the magnetic field that your DNA has inductance with is the magnetic field of Earth. Now rewind with me to the information that we gave you in 1989, and we said that the Earth has a magnetic field that postures your consciousness. We told you this information, that if you were to go outside of this magnetic field, that you would be eventually in dis-ease. You cannot live without it. We now challenge you yet again, and we tell you this has not changed at all. This fact has never changed. And we ask scientists to look at some very interesting attributes, and they're there waiting for them to discover. Look at what happens when you take a human being, even slightly outside the magnetic field, they go into disease. There have been laboratories that you have placed on your poles, which are research laboratories that scientists live in for numbers of months. At the poles of the Earth, you have a neutrality of confluence, where what you would call the influence of the magnetics is one polarity of the other. So there is a singularity at the North Pole and a singularity at the South Pole that is not balanced in the kind of a magnetic field that you have right now as you sit here. It's not balanced. So scientists, I want you to take a look at the health of those who were in those research laboratories, because you're going to find something, that the incidences of their disease and their cancers is far, far greater than it should be in the normal curve of human health. For they sat outside of the balance too long, and they've paid the price. Those who were in orbit for great numbers of days, even months, were slightly outside of the magnetic field that you are in now. And you can see the same thing there. Look at their bone marrow. Look at their immune system and see that it begins to fail when they get outside of the magnetic field. The magnetic field is there. It works with your DNA in ways that you do not know. It talks to your DNA. I am Cryon of Magnetic Service. 1989, I told you that the magnetic grid would move more in 10 years than it had in the last 100, and it did. On its way, some say, to be involved in the flipping yet again. But not yet, and not quite, but it moved. And I'll tell you why it moved, because the consciousness of this planet moved it. That's why it moved. After the Maharmonic convergence, that's when it moved. No coincidence. It moved in order to posture your enlightenment. That's why it moved. It moved so that there would be an awakening of the planet. That's why it moved. And there is, and there has been, an intuition shift of so many all over the planet asking, isn't there more than I've been told? Yeah, there's another place on the planet that's difficult to live. There has to be, and that's at the null point, at the equator, and portions of it, because the magnetic grid is not consistent and it's not linear. There are parts where it's greater and parts where it's lesser. It doesn't follow exactly the equatorial line. It goes above and below. And that has been mapped for you, and your scientists know where that null point is. And I will now tell you there, take a look at the null point, and you will find the greatest trouble spots on this planet, the greatest disease on this planet, the greatest war and horror and genocide on this planet, the greatest imbalance is in the null. And that's because of the magnetic grid and because DNA receives information of balance. We told you 18 years ago. Do you want to know where to go, where it's more comfortable for the light worker? Go to where it's cooler. And that's not at the equator. Now do you understand why we said what we said? That's science. And we sit here saying, go ahead, scientist. Take a look. Take a look. Because you're going to find some synchronicities that you did not expect. If you're going to travel to the stars, if you're going to travel to the planets, you better take your magnetic field with you. In a simulated mode, match it to what the Earth gives you. For those days, those years, sit in that cocoon, or you'll not make it. Take it with you. This is yet to be recognized by those who plan to go to the planets and to the stars. So here is the invitation to the scientists. Take a look, for it is biology and it's balanced best, and you need the magnetics for balance. Now, let's talk about astrology. If you have gotten so far what I have said, and you understand that you as a human being are always influenced by the magnetic grid and that it was designed that way for communication, I would like to reveal to you what is landing upon the magnetic grid that might be that communication. Oh, there's a lot. I'll just give you the one. At the center of your solar system is your sun. Your sun is being patterned magnetically with gravity every second of the day. You cannot separate gravity and magnetics. They are two twins of the same attribute in science yet to be understood as they relate to one another. Light is involved as well, for it is interdimensional. Any attribute of anything that can be two places at the same time is interdimensional, and light can have that attribute. At the center of your solar system is your sun, and it is sitting there with the planets pushing and pulling upon it as they move around it. Imagine the force of the tug upon the sun of all of your planets and the various alignments that they go through. Imagine for a moment that you could see gravity and the incredible forces of gravity as strings out to the planets pulling upon the center of the sun. It is affected. It is patterned daily, all of the time, every moment. This patterning is an interdimensional patterning of the sun. It changes attributes, it does, because of the pushing and the pulling of the planets upon it. Therefore, you might say that these attributes are different every moment, depending upon where the planets are, and you'd be right. Think of what the attributes of this pushing and pulling do to the sun when the planets line up in a row. Think of what happens when there is what you call the seeming retrograde. Think of what happens with the patterning as the planets move around in these positions that are known to you, astrologers. And so there we are with a pattern in the sun that is interdimensional, that is magnetic, that even affects time. And the sun blasts that solar wind at the Earth all the time. Come coming at you, the solar wind, all of the time, all that time. That is the information of the patterning of the sun being delivered to the magnetic grid of this earth. And if you doubt that, then go look at the Aurora Borealis. For that is the name given to the light show of the solar wind as it hits the magnetic grid, as it delivers the information of the patterning of the sun. And when it arrives here on the grid of the planet, that patterning is then transmitted through inductance to your DNA at birth. You get a pattern. Aquarius, Pisces, Cancer, you get a pattern. And the pattern is reflected of the alignment of the planets at the moment of the birth. The pattern is retained in your DNA as a life force that we have spoken of yesterday when we talked about the seeming chaos of the energy in an interdimensional area. It affects you. And so from then on, you are susceptible and changeable with those patterns as they align in your solar system. And that's called astrology. There are those who say, I don't believe this. Did you know that even the gravity, without the solar wind, affects your DNA? Did you know that? We have just given you information that you are susceptible to the patterning of interdimensional orbital mechanics. And there are those who said, I still don't believe it. All right, I will ask you this. How do you explain the full moon syndrome? Why is it that police forces all over the globe decide to put on extra help on the full moon? And there are some that say, well, that's easy. You see, it's lighter then. And we say, as though it were not the night before or the night after. You see. More trouble when there's more light. Huh? No, no, no. Oh, ask the hospitals, they know. Those who clean up the messes and the accidents, they know the full moon is a difficult time. Now go explain that. And I will tell you, it is because, dear human being, you are susceptible to the movement of the planets, even your own moon, which has no solar wind, because it is so close to you. Even that interdimensional tug of the gravity of the moon puts you into the cycles. You are allied with Gaia. You are part of the system. Can you ever deny such a thing? That's science. Astrology is scientific. It has to do then, therefore, with the patterning of magnetics through inductance onto the DNA layers. DNA, which is also magnetic. This will be shown someday. Oh, science. They're not going to call it astrology. You're not going to see it on the news, science proves astrology. They will hint at it. They will tell you about it in their own way. And then there are the astrologers who will smile a lot. And so you see, and they'll say, you say, it isn't evil at all, is it? It's not a cult at all, is it? Now it's science. Now it's okay. That's astrology. Could it be that simple? It's not simple. It's grand. It's grand. Now you will understand, astrologers, why we told you 18 years ago that there would be a difference in the charts that you must rectify before and after to find out what has taken place within the energy shift and the magnetic grid shift between then and now. We talked about a 3-degree influence in your charts between now and the year 2012. Those 3 degrees do not all occur in one house. Those 3 degrees are a culmination of the house shapes opening and closing in a new configuration. go ahead, do the rectifications, and see what we mean. Do the overlays before and after, and you will discover through those clients that you have had charts done on then and now what is taking place and how these are shifting and changing. And the world-class astrologers know that it is changing. Even astrology is dynamic, for it's related to the magnetics. Indeed. Now my partner says, well, that was easy. Well, this next one won't be. For now we speak of physics. Let me give you some history. Let me tell you about a conundrum. Let me tell you what science has done with the conundrum. Then let me tell you some things that we have never said before. It's a beautiful law, it is. And Newton designed it. It is a law that is responsible for all of the orbital mechanics in your solar system. Explains them all, it does. It is the second law of Newton. It is a description. Careful, my partner, go slowly. It is a description in its fundamental formulation of force, matter, and acceleration. And these fundamentals explain the movements of the planets, the movements and inertia of motion on all parts of the Earth so well that it's responsible for the calculations of you sending satellites up, ships throughout the solar system, all of the math so centered around Newton's second law. It works. And if you've noticed in your own solar system, and if you're into astronomy, you will see what Newton saw. And that is that the planets which are further away from the gravitational influence of the sun travel slower. And that the planets that are closer to the sun because of the influence and the orbital mechanics and the force, matter, and acceleration formula travel faster. And this holds true and has held true until your science discovered some problems. The first thing that raised its head was when the particles became too small, the law broke down. It didn't follow the rules anymore. When you got into atomic structure, it was different. This was actually the reason for the birth of the quantum physics, the explanation of the small and the very small, and the theories that would go with it. And it was okay. It was okay with science. They said when things get super small, there has to be a difference. Not only that, human beings have the ability to experiment with the super small, with their atomic accelerators, where their protons and antiprotons colliding them at almost the speed of light to see what happens, to see what the particles are. They could experiment with it. They could get the laws of small particle physics. And even if it didn't match Newton's second law, it was okay, because after all, you weren't dealing with planets and stars. It was okay. Until recently, when they started looking at the very big galaxies, don't work that way. Recently, within the last decade, as the optics of the telescopes became better and better, they discovered the pieces and parts of galaxies could be seen rotating around the center. And to their shock, they discovered that they were in what is called a flat rotation mode. For me to explain this to you, go slowly, my partner. If you were to take a disc and put some pebbles upon the disc, close and far from the fulcrum or the center, and then gently rotate the disc, you will notice that all of the particles you put on the disc rotate in tandem together, keeping their influence with each other in the same perspective. They don't move. One does not go faster than the other at all. That is called disc rotation, and that is what galaxies basically do. Suddenly, Newton's second law doesn't work. Works for solar systems, doesn't work for galaxies. And so the answer was this. In the mathematics, they said, something is creating an energy we cannot see, which is pushing upon the matter in a way that is messing up Newton's law. We don't know what it is, but we cannot see it. It is unseen energy creating this system, which we now are realizing is there. There is energy we cannot see, therefore it's in the dark, and it's got to be dark matter. Dark matter isn't really dark matter. It is the scientific definition, go slow, my partner, for missing energy. That's all it is. Something is pushing and pulling in ways that do not follow the orbital mechanics of the classic Newton's law. How can that be? Now the conundrum is there. The very small doesn't work well. The very big doesn't work well. Your solar system seems to be fine. Somebody's working on this right now. Newton had an assistant. He was very involved in his work, helped him a lot, he did. Esoteric it is. The assistant is alive today, and he's an astronomer, of course. And he's very close to figuring this out. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to do my best to give this to my partner in a succinct way so that you will understand the physics. This has never been revealed in this fashion. You're close to discovery. It's in the ethers. I am not giving you anything that human free choice is not going to discover on its own. It's in the ethers. It is delivered to you. It is ready for you to find this, physicist, but you're going to run up against a whole lot of resistance. And I'll tell you why. Because you're going to have to rewrite and add unto the four forces of the universe. As known by physics, I will give you the names of the four forces and what they're called. I will not explain them, for this is not the venue for that. Listen to what the scientists have said are the only four forces that control everything. The first is gravity. This is known as a weak force. The second is electromagnetics. This is known as the strong force. They are a pair. And the next two, one is known as the weak nuclear force. The fourth is known as the strong nuclear force. Those four supposedly are responsible for everything that happens. And now suddenly there is a conundrum. There's missing energy. Does that not tell you perhaps those four forces might be six? And they are. I want you to take a look at nature. On your planet, take a look at nature. Almost everything comes up in the factors of 12. Mathematician, you know what the factors of 12 are. The most common factors of 12 that you see in nature are 3, 4, and 6. When you crystallize water on its own, It comes up with six arms. The crystallization formations are base 12 or the factors of 12. We have told you for many, many years that the elegant science of physics should be base 12. It is an interdimensional math that comes up with a zero. A zero that doesn't mean nothing or infinity. A zero means the potentials of all the answers probable. It's not an empirical math. And yet this math will bring you some realizations when you get it. For instance, does it make sense to you that one of the most profound equations that you have, being that of the circle, which you have called pi, is an irrational number? It goes forever. Does that make sense? We happen to know that on one of your spacecraft, to communicate with anybody who might find it, you put that number, pi, right on the chart on the spacecraft. It's like a communication in math. In case any intelligent life force should find it, they would then say, oh, you have pi. You must be intelligent. Let me tell you what an intelligent society will know when they see that. They will look at it and they go, these people are flying in space. They don't even have base 12. Look what they think pi is. They must still be in base 10. There's got to be six forces. And there is. And before I tell you what the other two are, and I give them attributes, not names, because they will be named according to what science wishes to name them, and they will then explain dark matter. Oh, listen to this. There's a difference between a galaxy and a solar system. A big one. Newton, listen up. At the middle of a solar system is ordinary mass. No matter how big or how small the sun is in any solar system, it represents ordinary mass. When you get into the giant systems such as galaxies, that's where the magic is, and that is where the discoveries are. Years ago, we told you what was in the middle of each galaxy that would cause the rotation. Even before it was notated in science, we said there is something in the middle that's interdimensional, a black hole. Some years ago, we then gave you the rest of the story. We said there are twins in the middle of each galaxy. There are two attributes. One you call the black hole. And one you cannot see. They are a push-pull system of interdimensional energy. The missing piece of the forces of the universe and the energy that surges back and forth. Now stay with me. I'm going to give you some pictures in your mind for this. Let me tell you what happens when you have this kind of an interdimensional energy in the center. Newton's law no longer applies. It's not ordinary mass. This interdimensional energy has a cohesion to it. It creates a flat rotating galaxy because of its interdimensionalness. There is a whole set of laws that must be developed for a strong and a weak interdimensional force. You now have the six. You have gravity, you have electromagnetics, you have strong and weak nuclear, and now you have number five and number six, which are strong and weak interdimensional force. Here it comes, the interdimensional portions that the string theorists said are there. Every galaxy has a push-pull system. Every galaxy in the middle of it has a twin. There is a twin system. You only see one. Because you're convinced it's invisible, it's black hole, no light escapes, therefore it must be singular, one thing. How 3D of you. It is not one thing. It's a beautiful double eye of a needle. Now listen. When you start mapping the universe, and you see how the galaxies are really put together, you already know they're not random. Isn't that interesting? Wasn't what you call the Big Bang supposed to be something that random distributed everything from almost nothing? So why is there a pattern? This is the beautiful part, dear human beings. There is a pattern in the seeming chaos of an interdimensional event, which was Big Bang was an interdimensional event. Picture with me for a moment a giant needle and thread, two of them, one that goes into the black hole and one that comes out of it. These threads are interdimensional strings of force that then connect themselves to the other galaxies, weaving in and out of their centers, which are a double-eyed black hole, a push and a pull, an interdimensional force of which you are not aware of yet. And they then thread to another galaxy and to another and to another. Now, see that quilt work having a symmetry and a purpose. If you could look down the middle of it into the middle of the universe from a certain angle, you would even have the symmetry of a mandala. The galaxies are shaped beautifully. The symmetry makes sense. It's base 12. We challenge you to find this. And those seeming threads that go in and out of those galaxy centers with this new force I have just described, it's a lattice. It's a lattice. It has symmetry. It has purpose. It has beauty. And it's the missing energy of the universe. The dark matter that everyone looks for is not in the empty spaces between things. It's in the strings of the interdimensional force between galaxies, purposefully put there. Oh, it's a wonderful system. You only see randomness now. You don't even have the forces listed, but you will. I've spent enough time on this. Okay, there is one more. I want to give you this hint. Again, we do not do this out of the free choice of the human being. This is in the ethers. That is to say that it is available for discovery. Humans must discover these things. We give hints. And when they're there, you'll know you heard it here first. This is technical. Don't worry, my partner. I'll give you the picture. For years, astronomers have been putting special lenses on the telescopes of choice in order to give them different kinds of views of the universe. The collection of ordinary light is passé. They now wish to collect radiation. They wish to have the spectrometry. Go slow. So that they can tell what things are made of. They would like to measure the coming and the going of the speed, so they will have red shift or blue shift, to know the speed of things. For years, they have been putting special lenses on their telescopes so they can see not light, but everything else. Wouldn't it be wonderful if someone came up with an interdimensional lens? And if you could, what would you see? You'd see exactly what I've described. You'd be able to see the twinness of the center black hole, that it's not one thing, it is two, because you're not looking at light anymore. You're looking at gravity and time and the warping of them, and you'll see the in and the out. You'll see how they relate to the other, because you will see the strand connecting the galaxies very clearly. Wouldn't that be wonderful? It would explain the missing energy. It would give the sign, it's the reason to increase the four forces to six. And it is doable. And I'm going to tell you what it looks like, almost. Number one hint, you cannot put it on the lens. It must go as close as it can to the receiving device. In the case of an optical telescope, that is its mirror. In the case of a digital telescope, that is its digital eyeball. That is to say that this lens cannot go anywhere but the focal plane. That will be meaningful to those who build telescopes. It must go there where the focus is collected. This lens is not physical. This lens is plasma. Plasma held together by incredibly strong magnetics. And it's very cold, and those are the hints. And when you develop it, and when it's there, and when you turn it on, there will be the next step in astronomy, a revolution, a revelation. Physics will change, your reality will change, and I'll tell you why. And this is the last point I make in science before I close. I'll tell you why. And that is, when you look at interdimensional things, one of the unexpected things you're going to see is life. Yes, you stick out. Because of your life force, you can look into a galaxy, and the ones that glow have life. How about that one? And everybody can get scared. It's inevitable. Inevitable. That is our science channel. Listen. In a moment, you're going to leave. You're going to get up out of the chair and you're going to go away. And some of you will be sorrowful. And you'll say, you know, if there were only a way we could just hold this energy. I really like this, you might say. I want to tell you, we have that in common, dear human being. We really like this too. It begs the question, who came to see whom? You see, we give excuses so we can spend the time with you. We say we're going to give a science channel, an esoteric channel. That's just so we can sit with you, you know. You want to be here because you're interested. We want to be here because we love you. I want to give you the invitation to recreate this moment every day of your life. And you say, well, that's kind of hard. We don't have the people around us. We don't have those special people on stage. We don't have the music. And oh yeah, you do. We just gave you 2 days of it, and it's gone inside your consciousness, and you can pull it anytime you want to, right back to where it is right now. Get into that quantum state, because every time you do, we'll be there. That's the invitation. Become slightly quantum on us. Get out of 3D, just a little. And then smile when you feel it. There are those in this room who know what I'm speaking of, who know when they go to that spot you call meditation, and all of this energy that is here in these 2 days comes flying back. It's here. It always will be. You're going to get up and leave the room. The event will be over. The last time in this place, it'll be over. And there'll be those who say, well, that was just really, really good. It's too bad. It's over. It's not over. It's not over. No, we want to go home with you in the same way that we're here with you. Now, that's quantum. Can you do it? Those who've received messages in these times, in these 2 days. And the messages often were this: honor yourself, go slow, there's a purpose for your life.
Let the cosmic intelligence flow in and out of you. Be peaceful. Stop worrying. Increase your life force and your health. There is a system of connections between every human being in this room, just like the galaxies of the universe. Call upon it and let it work for you, dear light worker. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. The message of Kryon will never change. Until my partner takes his last breath, it'll be about the love of God for you, about what the family is like, and how much we miss you while you're here. It's a time of great joy, reflection, discovery. And you let us share it all with you. This entity is in love with humanity. Brother and sister, until we see you again, in whatever form, let the Lemurians play. Let them sing their songs. These are the times you waited for, my brothers and my sisters. Flow into this room. And let these light workers know you're here.